Are you easily angered? Do you actually feel forgiven by God? It says this love keeps no record of when it has been wronged. I hope my puppy does that when I come home today. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices in the truth. You see, 1 Corinthians 13 is a big deal. Because in the church world, you know, hey, I want to see God, I want to know God, and if God can give me faith, if God can give me a gift of tongues, if God can give me all of this, it's all wonderful until you forget there's this aspect of love, and if you don't show love, none of it matters. I mean, none of it matters. And we've kind of forget about that. And you can't buy your way into happiness for the long haul. And it's not what you have, it's what has you that matters. And I have found in knowing the Lord, He in some ways kind of retools us, regenerates us. There are people who have grown up and they haven't been shown a lot of love, and yet there are people who are very loving. It's because of the Lord. There are people who have been really hurt by others, and they deserve to have an attitude and all of that, but because of the Lord and His grace and their faithfulness, they choose to focus on His goodness and not the badness, and it makes a difference in their lives. And then there are people who, they're just stuck. And they've been hurt, and I don't understand all of our hurt, and don't think I'm trying to minimize anything. But there's a God who can help with hurt. There's a God who can help with anger. There's a God who can help with jealousy. And when we focus on God, oh, it makes a difference. Here's the last thing that love does. Eight things that love supplies. Love is patient. Long-suffering. Love is kind. Right? You read about the guy who went into the florist and, you know, it says, you know, say it with flowers. He walks in and says, I need one rose. Only one? Yep. I'm a man of few words. Love rejoices when truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is not suspicious. Love is always hopeful. Love is steadfast in the face of unpleasant circumstances. Okay, I want you to understand something. Love isn't this thing where, hey, I'm just going to be a doormat and be walked on. That's not what love is. Love isn't saying, yeah, I'm going to just accept abuse and I'm going to accept this and it's fine, or I'm going to accept being cheated on, lied to. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about having a mentality of Christ. Doesn't mean that there aren't boundaries. It doesn't mean that there aren't limits. And quite frankly, sometimes things don't go as we want them to go, right? But these principles are still true. And whatever happens to you, sometimes it's just really bad. And we can't control everything that happens to us. But what we can control with God's help is how we respond. Love doesn't give up. Love doesn't bail out. Love doesn't lose faith. Love is hopeful. And you know what is so important to understand? Jesus showed some of the most pure love that anyone could ever show. And He was constantly mistreated, constantly misquoted. At the end of His life, He was absolutely mishandled. He was beaten. He was lied about. He was lied to. His best buddies bailed on him. One of them sold him out for money. Another one who said, I'm with you until the end, I'll die for you, said, I don't even know the guy. And on the cross, Jesus has this conversation with his father. And because it hurts so bad, he doesn't even call him father. My God, why even you have forsaken me? So it's not like he never had anything that went on that was bad. But he had a purpose, and his purpose was when you and I are broken, when you and I are abused, when you and I are let down, we can actually have faith and we can actually believe for a future. I mean, when Jesus had done what he needed to do, he says, Father, it's done. Oh, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Love is really hard. And we get so confused about what love actually is. Love isn't as much as what we get. It's kind of what we don't do and what we choose not to do and that what we choose to do. I don't know if you've read, it's called The 10 Laws of Lasting Love, but Paul Persale writes this. When I was struggling with cancer a few years ago, my wife and I formed our own couple caution circle. Anytime the doctor came in with news of my progress, my wife and I would join in a mutual embrace. The reports were seldom good during the early phases of my illness, and one day, a doctor brought in particularly frightening news. Gazing at his clipboard, he murmured, it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Before I could ask a question of this doomsayer, my wife stood up, handed me my robe, and adjusted the tubes that were attached to my body and said, let's get out of here. This man is a risk to your health. As she helped me struggle to the door, the doctor approaches, and my wife said, stand back, get away from us. As we walked together down the hall, the doctor attempted to catch up with us. Keep going, said my wife, pushing my intravenous stand. We're going to talk to somebody who really knows what's going on. Then she held her hand up to the doctor and said, you had better not come any closer to us. At that moment, the two of us moved as one. We fled to the safety and hope of a doctor who did not confuse diagnosis with verdict. I would have never been here today if I had to walk in my wellness alone. The last thing about love, it says this in verse 8, love will last forever, or it says it never fails. And then the last verse of this chapter that we haven't read yet, it's a reminder to us as to what really matters. And this is what Paul writes. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I don't know how your relationship at work is, or how your relationship with family is, or if you've been married once or four times, or you're not married, or you are married and thinking, wow, how could I undo that? I mean, I don't know what all that is. But here's what I do know. God really cares about you, and he wants to grow in you and in your relationships. And if you apply these basic principles in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I guarantee you it will make a difference in your relationships. Last sentence I wrote, we all want to be loved, and we want to be able to love others. The greatest way to start is understand the author of love. God loved us and it's absolutely expressed in Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you've never met Jesus, he died for you. Literally laid down his life that you might find life. And I want to pray for you as we close our service and even give you a Bible. It's a great Bible. It's called the New Believer's Bible. You say, I don't know it all. Well, none of us do. But I know this. I know Jesus died for you and he really cares. And he wants to help you on a personal level. And he wants to help me on a personal level. I also know this. You're never going to totally arrive. I mean, I'm not super proud to tell you that I yelled at my dog today. But I did. And I'm the guy up here teaching you how to love. I do believe the dog deserved it, but I'm just saying. Let's just say my approach on a scale of 1 to 10 should have been a 2, and somehow it ended up a 15. But here's what I know. God, thanks, and I've got a great wife who reminded me, Jim, don't be a jerk. And we all need that. If you've been married a long time, it's easy to take things for granted. If you've struggled, it's easy to take things for granted. We go back to the basics of what did work, and it actually still works. Let me pray with you, and we'll be dismissed this morning. I just want you to know, it's such an honor to be able to try to learn some things from the Lord and share them with you. It's a huge privilege, and I want to thank you just for being who you are. And we so much appreciate being your pastors and walking with you and the fact that we don't have to be perfect, but we are trying, and we want you to do the very same. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you're just absolutely good. And when we get close to you, we realize that you care about us. We realize that you're not like mad at us and you want to help us. We realize that because we are so loved, we can love others. God, I pray that you would remind us, remind me, remind all of us about 1 Corinthians 13. Help us to put our name in there. Jim doesn't boast. Jim doesn't, just Jim loved. Help us to put our name in there. And God, help us, we pray, to be more like Christ because it affects our lives in a better way. We live better when we're more like you, Jesus. I know it. But it's hard to fight sin. It's hard to fight our own flesh. It's hard to fight the things the enemy throws in our way. That's why we need you and we need one another. So God, I bless these friends who've come today. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that your face would shine about them, Lord, that you would give them peace, and that we all would walk with you today and tomorrow until we get to meet Wednesday again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed.